The lips of the righteous teaches many. But fools die for want of wisdom. The rich man's wealth is in the city. Fixation of a soul is vanity. Destruction of a poor is their poverty. The poor man's wealth is in a holy, holy. Why do you fight each other? Why do you kill your brother? Then your reward will be the same tree.
Yes. Oh, wonderful. Good. One of my favorite singers. Yes, Mr. Peter Tosh. This gentleman has a very sober zone in his mind. And listen to the lyrics. Singing about fools die for want of wisdom. And you know, as I sit and listen to this song, my mind focus on certain situation, and it causes me to reflect back to the life that I grew up in back in Jamaica. The world has really evolved into a different scenery than when I was growing up. I didn't even realize, I didn't know, because nobody really taught us about the slavery situation that we grew up in. So the way we grew up, we go to school, we go to church, it's all normative. And if you listen to people today, 50 and a little more years old, who grew up in Jamaica, listen to the way they talk. Listen. You know, I mean, you think about the celebrations and things like that, the holidays that we have in Jamaica, and the food we eat, and all these minutiae. And you will see that we are people with a certain adjustment. We have a certain mentality. We are well adjusted to the things that we came and saw. Yeah. We remember going to school and what they taught us, memory gems, they call it, things for us to remember, things to exercise our minds, right? And I remember the Mr. Grums, Master Willie, Percy the Chick, and, you know, what did I say, Mr. Grums? Yes, and Mr. Mangoose, and I remember the A Dilly Dilly, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumps over the moon. The little duck laughs to see such fun, and the dish run away with the spoon. So we are people adjusted to the Jamaican life. We don't know much. I mean, there are those of us who may read a little, but in the culture, as we come and go every day, we don't run into this type of consciousness about where we're coming from. You know, I didn't run into that consciousness. We are just there trying to live, and we know that when holidays come, I mean, Boxing Day, we have Easter, we have Christmas, and such the like. And St. Patrick's Day, you know, it's all the British, cultural ideas that we lived out. It wasn't our own, nothing from back home in Africa. We only occasionally may hear the word Africa. What I'm saying is this. When you're raised up into an environment such as people who have been through 400 years of slavery, and you are at the tail end of where some, you know, certain freedom came in, it becomes normative to you. You grew up, you see these churches, and all you know is that this Baptist church and this Adventist church down the road. That's all you know. I mean, nobody's giving account for how these things are planted into our surrounding. Oh, nobody is concerned about right or wrong of anything. But we do know we have a book called the Bible. See? And as I am saying, I'm pointing out something, my friends, that we are raised up in this environment and we don't really understand it. We don't know anything about it. We just have to accept it. You see what I mean? It's not a matter of even exercising a choice to believe it. We are not doing. Because we don't have the premise on which to determine whether or not we want to believe it or not. It is automatically put into our perception. All right. So what I'm saying here is this. We couldn't read when we were children. We go to school and we eventually learn to read. And the premise on which we learn to read is, you know, it's not even the ambience with a consciousness about reality, about the real world. No, it is a premise on which we accept every known chaotic idea and practices. Yes, we don't know that we should not. We don't think we should decline the nature and understand that. Look, this is something that was given to us, you know, by our adversary, those who made us slaves and killed a lot of our ancestors. We don't factor that in at all. We cannot. The premise on which we are getting an education is totally something that, I mean, allows us to sponge in everything. Everything we born come see, my friends. The reason why I'm giving this this preface to what I am going to talk about, it is because it is this is a very challenging thing for people to understand reality, and that the way they were grown up was not the knowledge. It's not the knowledge that we should have. You see. Because there was a history that we don't know about. They are not teaching us that because they have hid that away from us. And don't believe that. Take it lightly, because a lot of us have migrated to England where we had, you know, a little better life, a little upgrading from the slavery exposure. You know, don't get carried away by that, my friends. They are still the people who captured our foreparents and brought them to the West and have really, really turned us into somebody else. And I'm not saying that Africa is paradise. I'm not saying that. But you know what? You know, home is home, you know. And Africa still remains the home, the cradle of life. And wherever, whatever we be the culture of Africa, that's where we belong. When somebody is going to capture you and take you to a different environment and teach you what they want to teach you, something is really wrong with that. You know, you can't see the real world and the way life should be, and you don't have your own freedom at all, because they made sure that they plant a view in your brain long before you understood anything that will hold you in that darkness for all of your lives, not unless something happens, such as what has happened to me and a bunch of other people. We come to realize that, oh my God, you know, we are raised up into some environment we should not have. They captured our parents and bring them here and do them all of these things. So, you know, if we are looking on the queen, oh, and said, oh, queen, you know, do you know how she became queen and where the word queen, where it came from? Do you think, I mean, they just make up that word? No, it has an history, my friends. And if you know where it is coming from, and you know the bloodline of the queen and why they have taken to themselves the right to make other people slaves, kill you when they want to, and do whatever, and like in the United States, I mean, not too long ago, they were, I mean, lynching our people indiscriminately, you know, boys. They just do whatever they want. Now we are raised up, and we believe that, okay, you know, we just take everything normative. And like, I remember what I said, we do not have any choice. We don't have the awareness. We don't have the consciousness. We don't have the knowledge to distinguish between this and that. Now is when we are talking about it, and it is difficult for a lot of people to take on to it, because now they have taught us about a God, a spirit God, right, who make human beings, which is a lie. And this is what I'm bringing to your attention, that the Bible that they give us and think it is the manual for life, just like the manual you have for your car, your new car that you just bought. Right, you have that manual, and it tells you how to treat the car. Well, the Bible is given to us like that type of a manual. It's God who created us, give us that Bible. And I am telling you, it is one of the biggest world-renowned lies. This is the biggest one of them all, because what they have done is tampered with our intellect. You see, and for hundreds of years, they have killed and do whatever they wanted to do with our ancestry, and they have begot us, under very, very horrible circumstance. Okay? So what we have learned about the world because of the Bible, by the Bible they have given to us, it's all lies. Why do you think that? I mean, we managed, you know, they got us to believe some prophet, you know, God raised up some prophet. But think about the God that would have raised up these prophets anyhow. Go back to the beginning and read who this God really is. Would you be able to do that? Because I tell you what, we will not be able to reverse this understanding, this perception, that false perception we have of the world around us and of ourselves. We won't be able to see the cosmos for what it is unless we read this Bible that bamboozle our minds. Go back to the beginning and read about the God in there, and you will see that this guy, you know, come out of the woods of St. Catherine, cannot be lying to you. It's impossible for me to lie saying these things I'm saying. You see, but look, it's like lightning and thundering. You know, I mean, talking this type of stuff. I mean, people who are still believing in the Bible and the God of the Bible. They say, Tim, you're atheist, man. You know, you're heretic. You know, you are apostate. And I'm saying to you, none of these. It doesn't bother me when anybody think that. You know, that's what I am. Because look, it's not intelligible. Any one of you thinking that somebody is an atheist, an heretic, an agnostic, you are not learned yet. No. You may even have a university education, but you are not learned yet about the history of the world. You have a believing, assumptive perception. And it is contrary to the way one learns. You must first have knowledgeable understanding of something, whether tangible or intangible. You have got to develop a knowledge of it. You just don't grow up like we have in Jamaica and assume all things to be the reality of the world. You don't grow up like that. Go to a college or a university and get an education that sanctions all of these spurious falsehood into your brains. And now you're convinced that the Bible is the authentic book. It's coming from God. It's God who made mankind and man rebel. You are actually believing that man rebelled. And now you're built a life around all of this falsehood. And when somebody tells you that these things are not true, you are offended. You are offended because what? In your cortex, it is the fiction is real. You see what I'm saying? The fiction is real, and you look on these people and say they don't believe in God. They are atheists. They don't believe in God. But it's a mistaken identity that you have been taught. You have been taught that the God in the Bible creates all things, which is not true. That's not the way the cosmos is formed. And the way the Bible is telling us that mankind is formed, it's all a egregious lie. It is. And not unless you begin to open your eyes and read like a scholar. Because, you know, I'm surprised to see how many people, well-educated people, still don't know how to handle words yet. You know, they don't believe in words. They don't believe what the word is saying is what it is saying. In other words, they believe when they want to buy a car. They believe in words that enables them to buy a car. Words enable them to sign a contract for a house or anything mundane. They believe in words to do that. When you take up the Bible, forget it. Words do not mean what it says when it comes to God and the Holy Spirit and all that. No word process whatever. So therefore, if you take up a piece of history and you begin to read about ancient gods, Greek mythology, the Greek people, you know, they lived long before us, you know. And they lived out more reality than you and I. They were not coming out from under slavery. Anybody teach them about one God. See what I'm saying? Now, this is serious education right now. Because, you see, my job is to get rid of this whole bunch of illusional and delusional type of concept that they have infected our brains with. And there are some people who are interested to hear what I am saying. Some people, they are too damaged. Their brains too damaged. They will forever believe in this spurious God of the Bible. They will not be able to rise to the level of consciousness to make these levels of distinction. And I understand that. There are people who are drowned in this thing, and they're not going to be able to redeem and come and see the light of the world. Okay, they're going to think that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And I'm saying Jesus Christ was invented. The character of Jesus Christ is not a real character. It is one that they have made up from a real character. Okay, and the real character is the man that they're showing you on a cross. They nailed this man on a cross because of evil. They who nail him and talking about he's a savior, they are evil. And we don't have a world history that tells us about we were supposed to be saved by anybody dying and give them blood to save us. It's the whole thing that I'm trying to point out to you is that it is all a fictional tale. And they have imposed this fictional tale on the world. So you and I who came through under slavery and many other people who not coming from slavery descent, they themselves who are caught up into the snare. I'm not saying we are the only ones. You see? No, because it's a broad net and we did not escape it under slavery. We did not. Now, it doesn't matter who else is caught under this. You know what I mean? A dozen people drowning, including yourself. You're going to try to save yourself. Well, that's the case with us. You see, you have got to save yourself by trying to learn and get out of this dark ideology that is about there is a world that God created and mankind rebel against him. You think God, the wise, all-knowing, perfect God, would make a man and they get out of control? He would know to make a better human being. So when they're talking about the God in the Bible, the spirit God who nobody ever see, talking about that he made man and man rebel and, you know, he begin to kill them off and stuff, is to let you know that it would never. They're not talking about the real world. Bible is not talking about you and I. It's not talking about literal mankind. It's a fictional thing. They're talking You see? And then they are keeping us away from reading real history. And when we read real information about the past and how we got here, you won't even believe that. That's right. Christianity as a whole, I'm not saying in every corner, but Christianity in general does not ascribe to real, clean education. You see, Christianity ascribed to education where an atheist, who a person who don't believe in the bogus Bible's God, the Spirit God that nobody knows. You see, it's education that include a belief in this God. You see, that's what Christianity is over the past few centuries or 2,000 years. Anno Domini. I am telling you to get familiar with this Roman calendar. Find out how it was constructed, when they constructed. Do some research and find out. All right. So what I'm trying to say to you, they have programmed us with this God to when you read about ancient gods, you think that's the devil jumping out at you. Which, you know, which when you come to learn about the world, you won't think like that. They got us going against ourselves and others because we believe what is spurious. We believe the untrue. In other words, we believe the fictional Bible that they created a few years ago. And history that's been hold so older than before they were born. Long before they were born. Hundreds of thousands of years before they were born. I mean, how much of us do not know that we have hundreds and thousands of years mankind on earth? You know, they're based on what the church, the Bible teaches us, the earth is 6,000 years old, my friends. So what I am bringing to your attention, you see, look, nobody can ridicule me. And people are running, breaking their neck, trying to run away from me. Don't run away from me. Run to me. Okay? You have no, you are not supposed to be afraid of me. Run to me. Because guess what? You can talk to me. Talk to me. And only that you're afraid of giving a plausible account for what you're believing, that you're going to run because that you got to hold on to your spurious God. The God who didn't like you in the first place. The God who didn't like Adam and Eve in the first place. Who kicked them out and didn't care nothing about them. Right? He didn't try to save them. He didn't try to counsel them. He did nothing. But you, with your belief, is going to say, well, they disobeyed God. That's the reason why he did it. So what happened to his forgiveness? Why is he now sending his son to forgive you and I? Why are we believing that he sent someone? I mean, the Spirit God sent someone. I mean, come on. Look. My friends, listen. I am telling you this, that something, a spark, will go off in your cortex. Because I know down there is dark on the part of those who have not yet found this light. You are struggling. I am saying to you, when you read a piece of information that tells you about ancient time, don't you underestimate what you're reading. And don't follow the Bible that they wrote, I mean, coming out of the hands of the wicked people. Why would, and let me ask you a question, those of you who are still cynical about what I'm saying. My job is to ask you questions to make you think, okay? Not for you to call me names or anything like that, because look, I am not calling you names. I will talk about Christianity. You are not Christianity. You were born a person in this world. You're not Christianity. If you take on Christianity, I mean, because of the circumstances we were raised up in, and at some point you may make a conscious decision to become a Christian. And now you are married to Christianity. So it's like somebody who smokes, right? And they don't like when people not smoking. Though you know that it is likely damaging your lungs, but you don't want a body to knock your habit, okay? Well, this is the way it is. I understand that. Your connection with what you believe. And therefore, somebody talk about Jesus Christ, right away you're angry because you have to defend Jesus Christ. you don't realize that Jesus Christ is not actual. It's fiction. And this is our problem. So I'm saying to you is that we need to think. How can the people who further in life, of course, we came out of them, how can they not know about Adam and Eve? And we know about Adam and Eve. It's not in their history. And I'm saying to you, we do not have any evidence whatsoever to subscribe to the idea of the Bible that we have with the Spirit God. We only think that the Spirit God is the only existence there is because we have grown up with it and they have hid real history away from us. Right? But when you read about the ancient gods, Greek mythology, you know, you're going into the heart and the bed of the Roman Empire, okay? The Hellenistic people. Now, how did they come to have this one God? It's because they have, you know, adjusted situation and language to make one God. But they did not know one God all along. They knew gods, okay? Greeks, just like all others, believed in different gods. Why did they? Because you're talking about the Elohims, the gods, who said, let us make man in our image and likeness. That's what you're dealing with. Don't you for 1 minute think that Greek people believed in gods because they wanted to. No, it was the norm. There was no one God in their time and in the civilization that is gone ahead of us. Okay, listen. They had one God for each element or cause, which I believe is very smart. That's the writer saying that. They chose to believe in a certain god or gods. More than one. They had the option to believe in one or more than one god. And who are these gods? You think is the spirit up in heaven? No. They are talking about our ancestry. The Elohims. The people from Nibiru. And it is not talking about gods who made the world. Because the information about the way the world came about is totally beyond the scope of what we are talking right now. When we close our eyes to the scope, close our eyes to the information about the cosmos, we are shut out in outer darkness. You see what I'm saying? We are in a dimensional world. And when we are closed off to the awareness that there is information about the greater world, we are in darkness. When they make a script and impose it on this dimension of us right now and tell us it's the Spirit God in the Bible create us and create all things, my friends, we are locked down in the bottomless pit. That's what the Bible is about. It's to lock people down psychologically. Where your entity, your intelligent entity is, it's a lockdown on your intellect. That's what the Bible is. A lockdown on the dimension, this dimension of our lives. And in no case are we going to be able to open up to the information of the greater world. You see what I mean? Because when you look up at night and you can see, you know, the light of the planets above you, you know, that's something else. You think it's God made those to decorate the skies? No, my friends. No. That's not what it is. All right. But I'm trying to say this because, you know, it is so important for people to ponder these basic, minute things. Because unless we get some orientation into these, I mean, ABC type of thinking, we cannot fathom what the Bible is saying. We will never get beyond this Bible. We are always going to think that this Bible is real. This God is provoked. Mankind is provoking God. God is angry with the wicked. No, my friends. Look, the character in the Bible is a fictional character that invent every evil known. Now, when I say that, you are going to find it ridiculous. But you find it ridiculous because you're under the fictional mandate, the fictional script. This is what I'm trying to tell you. You don't have no reality in the Bible telling you about a spirit God. None whatsoever. So this is what I'm trying to tell you. Follow the ancient people. Okay? Follow the ancient Romans and what they believe about gods. And they coming now to write the script and just hypnotizing us into believe that there is one God who created the cosmos and created mankind from little dust. My friends, look on what I am telling you. Okay? Be scholarly. I mean, begin to hug on Romans' words, my friends. Don't let these people fool you. And look, the people who have enslaved us, you think they are interested in putting us into heaven, my friends? No, they're not. Okay? So this is what I'm trying to tell you. It's modern thing to build one God for people, my friends. It's religion, okay, that controls people. And the way to control people is to keep them dumb, you know, keep them from reading. And if they can read, find a way to distract them, okay? So this is what they had. You see, the God they thought was important. You see, so the whole concept of people way back in time is about the gods, the Elohim who created them. Okay? And remember, we are saying it's not a God of the universe is not God who created the heavens and the earth. That's not the way our environment, was designed. Okay? All right. So here we have it. You have God like Ares, Artemis, Zeus, and the list goes on and on. All right? Boreas, Bacchus, and you have Aphrodite, you have Morpheus, and you have Hera, you have Hades, and it goes on and on, my friends. You see, because there were, a lot of these gods and demigods, you know, back there. You see what I mean? Yes, Dionysus, and you have Ephratus, and you have Nemesis. I mean, look, it goes on and on. But look, we're not talking about something that is to come. We are talking about a life situation that is behind us. It's gone already now. You see? So when we are here talking about we're trying to serve God and fear God, you know, you got to have an intelligent process. Now, when I'm talking to folks and people are thinking that I'm some antichrist, listen to me. I'm not going to be angry about this because I know it is somebody who does not have the learning about history and what our society is made up of and where we are coming from. So you'll be under this fictional script where this God who is really vaporized character called Almighty God, Allah, whatever they want to call him, right? You're under this fictional script of the Bible. So therefore, you see me as an heretic. But you know what? Once you believe that I am a heretic, you work for the Romans. You work for the Romans Inquisition. Do you know that? Yes. Because they are the first ones to kill people who were heretics who don't believe in this very Bible, my friends. So you got to understand what you have inherited when you are reading the Bible. You have inherited a fraudulent, Italian mafia script. That's what you have in your hand, thinking that it's God. Think about the God in this Bible, my friend, and the things that they have written about him is no different from the Romans in Israel that were killing people who wanted them out of their country. And by the way, this is what I am going to be talking about.
See? So, you see, I hope I've given you some food for thought. You may say, oh, I mean, Tim, you know. Look, I do not expect that someone who is educated under the system, under the fictional system, and believe in the Bible God, they're not going to be able to. They won't be competent enough. Psychologically, you're not competent enough to comprehend what I'm saying, because you are locked into believing what you don't know to begin with. I'm here to extricate people in that situation, okay? Extricate you out of that, and of course you're going to feel, oh, you know, this guy's a deceiver. Yeah, I'm not a deceiver. You see, I am an assertive person who comes along, I come along, and I don't know, I don't know where I'm coming from. I was born, from my mother, Iona, and Jonathan, you know, and I come up into the world, and what I'm seeing is what I'm seeing, you know, and I'm reading words, and like I say, what words are telling me, you know, words are my teacher, you know what I mean? I don't have no human mentor, no. But, I mean, I'm dedicated to thinking and to find out what I am looking at. That's the way I am, right? So, my reading ability, is far less than a lot of you who have, you know, great education. Like my brother with a PhD. But you know what? I mean, I'm beating these scholars out because guess what? I am married to words, and I'm getting out of words what they ain't getting out of it. You see, I come to know the science in words. And my utility of words is surpassed people who can do all of these, great things, great skills, you know, I mean, that I cannot do. But, you know, look, you know, I love education. I want to have more education. But right now, you see, look, I'm dealing with words and the usage of words, my friends. And look, you know, most people under this fictional system have not yet learned the effectiveness of words or the loyalty and the awesome strength and power, reliability in words. They do not. You see? So if you ask them, say, I mean, define that word to me. Define it to me, and you tell me what context are you using it, because that word that you are using is being used in many different contexts. It has several meanings, like maybe 5-6 different definitions, my friends. And that's the reason why when you call that word talking about different things, you know, you have to place it in a context for it to be understood, you see? All right, so the science of using words is really what a lot of educated people have missed. And they have scooped up a lot of the dirt in life and don't realize it. Okay, well, that's the difference with me. I am extricating people, and I have no reason to lie about anything I am saying. Okay, now, it's a total different concept, what I'm talking about, because I'm talking about history. You living by history, not the Bible. It's two different concepts, because you will say, Tim, so what you want me to do? I said, live by the real history that we have, non-religious history. You can find the history books everywhere, in libraries, all over the place. The reason why you're not been paying any attention to it is because of this fictional Bible that we believe is legit. No, it's not, my friends. So, yes, I'm putting a lot on you, responsibility on you, because, look, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you to stop believing the spurious fictional Bible. It's a total different way of thinking, man. Right now, we're still under the Queen. You know, we're still under the Romans and all these people. We still believe in the foolishness that they're teaching us in the Bible about we're born in sin. It goes to show that, look, we are still buried in darkness. You see, and that darkness needs to be moved away. And how is it going to move away unless we understand what words are saying? So that when I come to you and I say, hey, God is perfect, right? And I say, so why you create evil? You need to be able to use words that the word or words I'm using to you, you need to use the word and show me why I am wrong. That's what you need to do. You cannot go on believing something you don't understand. You know, your feelings will not make it right. Do you see what I'm saying? Your feelings will not make it right. So you're saying, I mean, just don't walk away and say, this guy can talk, this guy can talk. Look, I'm not into that vain, gas, hair type of sound. I'm talking about substance right now. So I'm saying to you, you can do better using words the way for what they are and milking every ounce of sense out of the word. If God is perfect, why is doing all kind of dirty things? If God is merciful, why is acting unmerciful to Adam and Eve? Think about that. Look, I have a little legal knowledge too. You understand? I'm not just here just talking. Yes, that's right. You see? So what I'm telling you is something you ought to walk away and go do some research on what I say. Just don't walk away, because look, you're not going to get anywhere by believing what you're doubtful or unsuspecting. You just don't know. You see what I mean? And if you decide to just have your conviction in what you don't know, don't understand, and not reading anything about, and you're going to say, well, Tim, you're Antichrist. My friend, you're mocking yourself. Mocking yourself. Because you see, that's where I came from. Not knowing. Not suspecting. But I tell you what, I learned to read a bit. You see what I mean? And I have been into structures where people are doing real talk. I've never been a street person. I don't talk street talks and run stupid, slimy jokes and all that kind of thing. I'm serious. So the reason why, this little St. Catherine guy come out here and commanding respect. That's right. To say the world as it is right now is under a false script by the Romans. And if you know about the Romans, they went about and they, were predators in Israel, okay? And this is where, they find a way to just manipulate people, and they are all over Africa. They're spreading this falsehood about Jesus and people born in sin, and Billy Graham has, led like about 2 billion people to Jesus Christ and all this kind of thing. My friends, I'm telling you, it's time to extricate your mind from all of this delusional thing, okay? It's the reason why I wrote Bamboozled, Besieged by Lies, Man Never a Sinner. Look, when I was in Jamaica, let me tell you something. This is the Caribbean radio station. This is right here. You are hearing me live coming to you, all right? I mean to all the ends of the earth. Live right now, and I'm declaring to you that the operation of humanity right now, most of it, and not everyone, but worldwide, they have used the Bible to culture people and to just tell them everything that is not true. And I'm saying to you, as far as doubting, we people here on the Caribbean radio show, that of course we just have to call it the knowledge station, because that's what it is. Meet Mr. Ruler Brown. Meet Dr. Hev. Meet Granny Chani and a host of the rest of us here. And look, and the people who are supporters of this station, they are highly educated and intellectual people. They are not playing, my friends. They are not dealing with this British religious belief and this Romans Jesus Christ. No, the crucifix. No, they are not into that, because guess what? It has been found out that, the Bible is just a catalyst of evil, my friends. Okay? All right. But I want to tell you a little bit. The reason why I come off on this angle, and I'm getting back to my main business of the show. I grew up in Jamaica, and I did a little carpentry. have something in common with Yeshua, right? Yes. And my head just wasn't cut out for that kind of stuff. But that's not what I'm trying to tell you about. What I'm trying to tell you about is the good nature that is in me. Yes, the good nature in me. I love people, all right? And I just grew up with this unselfish way. You see what I mean? Yeah, I was always courteous and respectful to my friends. And I had a tendency to, you know, to be around my elderly, you know, elderly folks. Yeah, I had that type of maturity. I'm never afraid of elderly folks. But the next thing that about me is this. I came to a point, I used to drive for a few people in Jamaica, such as the Jamaica Library Service, right? I drove for the Jamaica Library Service about 3 years, St. Catherine Parish Library, all right? So I would go between Spanish Town and Kingston at the headquarters to Tamred come drive. Yes, that's right. Have any friends out there? And you remember me? Yes, that's right. I had some nice library girls I used to work for, although, of course, I couldn't, you know, I was a Christian. I wasn't trying to enjoy the girls, you know. All right. But what I'm telling you is this, is that, you know, there, and I work for the Jamaica Meteorological Service. The point why I'm telling you this is that I used to be able to pick people up and give them a ride. And sometimes, you know, they are traveling a few miles. And I was always happy to give them a ride and save them their bus fare. You know, it may not be important to some people, but I'm telling you, with me, it was very important to me. I felt so good when I was able to give someone a ride and they kept their fare in their pockets. Yes, I love that. I love to give somebody relief, okay? And I hope I become a billionaire, and definitely I would just, I mean, do a great job on the poverty, especially in my homeland. All right, but and again, yeah. So I am, you know, awfully kind and considerate of people. Yeah, and I like to defend the right of somebody else. I'm not a hacktivist to go pick it anywhere, and I'm not into this physical type of stuff, but using the dynamics, words or support or and thing like that, you know, I'm in for that. I like to see people think on their own. I like to see people prosper. But here's this quick little, story that I would like to tell. When I migrated to the United States, I work at a place where we made work on glasses. Used to polish glasses, you know, that they used to make eyeglasses, right? So we call this a mold, right? I mean, a concave. They're usually like concave type of glasses that we put them on a machine and polish them, right? All right. But there was several type of groups in this factory. And, you know, they have like group one, group two, group three, group four, five, six, I think all the way to group eight. No, I remember vividly, I was in a group six department, and, you know, with, you know, groups beneath me, people come and go, you know, in my area, you know, come from the lower group and come into my group. Now, they brought in a lady once, and this lady, she looked, as I recall now, more like a Jewish kind of person. And she had a sister that taught at Nova University. And they brought this woman in. And from what I remember, she was an artist. She somebody who drew, you know, she could was very artistic in that way. And but it's like, you know, she was not a spread out kind of person. When I say spread out, I mean psychologically. She was not on the same wavelength like everybody else, right? So I'm not suggesting that this woman wasn't, you know, sober or anything. That's not what I'm saying. But she was someone who was kind of restricted in the way she, in her art, you know. I mean, she doesn't bother anybody. She was like a quiet and, you know, a one-lane type of a concentrating person. So anyway, My point is this. They put her with someone of her peers, of course, with Caucasian person, to learn how to do the job. And, you know, I remember that she said she wanted a higher grade job to do, something that is like more semi-skill above what she was doing. Something more challenging, okay? So that's why she tried to come into Group 6. All right. Well, it so happens that I remember, I mean vividly, that this lady came into the department. And they put her with this person. And within about 2 weeks, she shuffled around to about 4 different people who tried to teach her the job. Well, one day, as I was walking back to my department from outdoors, my supervisor called me into the office. And he said, "Tim, you know, that's the both of us in the office." He said, "Tim, what do you think about, you know, I don't remember the name of the lady now, but let's call her Mary. Okay? What do you think about Mary? And do you think she can do this job?" Now, he's asking me, I assume he asked me because one day I recall he passed by in the department and saw me helping this lady to fix the tool that she used to polish the mold. And, you know, so he asked me the question. And I said to him, I said, "Yes, I think she can do it if she is showed how to do it properly." You know what I mean? I mean, hey, you know, if you're not shown how to do something properly, I mean, oh, you're going to learn it, man. Come on. And, you know, I mean, you're going to have a hard time, right? So what I did, I told him, yes, I told him exactly the way I felt. And I said, "Yes, I think she can do it." All right. Well, he said to me, "Tim, why you think she can do it when everybody else said, I mean, she's been with 4 people and they said she cannot do it?" You know what I mean? Like something is, I mean, implying like she's too dull. I mean, she cannot do it, you know? So, you know, to me, it sounds strange. I mean, why would they say so? 4 people flunk this woman? Come on. You know, I mean, it's not, this woman wasn't fat or anything. You know, I mean, she was a nice lady. I mean, you know, like I said, she was, I mean, kind of a closed off. I mean, not as, you know, happy and jolly like other people. But, I mean, she was pleasant. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with her. So somehow, she was not connecting with these people. But clearly, and they're all Caucasians, you can classify, she and them was all, you know, the same color, you know, and I am, you know, a little African guy. So so when the supervisor guy asked me that question and he told me what happened, you know, it just didn't sound right to me at all. You know, like they have something against her or what? So he said to me, "Well, I was just about sending her back to her group where she came from. But since you say you think she can do it, you know, I'm going to be your savior now." He said, "You take her." Yes, he said, "You take her and you know, see what happens." I said, okay, that was like the Monday. And the Tuesday, she started with me. and she was with me until I think the Thursday. He came by. So you're talking about Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is the third day, right? Yes. And this woman, she has like about 30 days, you know, probation, you know, to get this job done. And she already blew like about two weeks, going into 3 weeks now, right? So she's with me until the Thursday, and the supervisor came by and he said, "How is she doing?" Then he said, rhetorical, and he said, "Well, I can see," because he realized that, look, there was nothing wrong going on here. There's no problem with this lady. You see what I mean? And and he said something about, "Well, I might have to extend our trial period." I said, "No." You know, so I said, "Look, she's doing fine, and she's not doing anything different than anybody else who learned this job. When they complete the trial period, they don't learn everything, they don't know everything, but hey, they go on from there. And whatever else is there for them to, catch on to, they'll catch on to. But everybody always be able to be on their own, yeah, at that time." And she was no different. As a matter of fact, they required us to do one basic standard work. And she did that, plus she took on a second grade work and did it just fine. Now, I am telling you about myself, and this is gratuitous, stuff I'm offering you. But you see, it's just that folks will get to understand a part of me that they don't know. You just hear me here talking about the Bible and God and knocking God, right? We think it's the God that really exists. And I'm saying no. And you may call me atheist and all that. But I'm trying to tell you, intelligence is something that has no ignorance, okay? And Christianity is for sure ignorance. The Bible is for ignorance. I am telling you that. Christianity, the concept of Christianity is ignorant is people put it into effect to control other people. Tell you you're born in sin. That's the way they do it, my friends. So I'm telling you, a side of me that cares about people, I would not sit here and lie to you. Yes, I'll break up in a minute and I will just start, convulging, because... You know why I would do that? Because I feel it into my soul. Yes, this travesty of the Bible, we should never have it. Okay? It does not represent the lives of people. Like you have your driver's manual for your car. That's not what the Bible is, my friends. And I am telling it to you so that, listen, you understand who is talking to you. I am for delivering a person in any given way that I can. I'm telling you logic, my friends. And you are going to be better off without the Bible 100%. Because the Bible is not telling about, a loving God, a God who made you and he loves you, he wants to save you. Because I'm telling you, he would have done it to Adam and Eve. You see, he would have told Adam and Eve to worship him, to pray to him. He did not do that. None of that happens, my friends. So you have got to take on what I'm saying here. It's different. Look, what I'm saying is something that is going to spread all over the world. A lot of people already know it. It's common knowledge. You see what I'm saying? And it doesn't matter to me right now. A few things I'm not concerned about. And one of them is, I'm not concerned about anybody having a problem about what I'm saying. I'm not concerned about that. I do not. Because I am able to articulate that the Bible is given to ignorance. Yes. I'm telling you. And it doesn't matter if you have 6 university education, certificates, you are still ignorant. cannot forget, a doctor from Jamaica was talking to me when I was on one of the social network. I mean, Tag. I was on Tag, right? And he's a Jamaican. He's a physician from Jamaica. And it is surprising that he and I had an exchange. And, of course, I am talking my anti-Bible argument. Of course, me, I am a slavery descendant. And now I realize the Bible has a God that sanctions slavery. Okay? Yes. The God in the Bible sanctions slavery and hates women. That's right. So this doctor was talking to me about this God of the Bible and stuff like that. And I'm giving him some logic. Now, no sooner than he gets to the point, he's supposed to articulate and give me some logic as to why I was wrong. He disappeared. He's a doctor. He's a physician. And so is another professional, a psychologist from Germany. I think she's from Germany. Okay? And she was supposed to have a Genesis Bible study with us, me and my friends, on Facebook. And she sent me a guideline, professional guideline, as to, you know, the attitude that you ought to have when you are going into these type of, you know, disciplinary reasoning. And she sent it to me. Oh, no, my. You know, I think she thought that that was going to really brought me down to a level where she could control me, okay? But, you know, and like I probably would have problems to follow those guidelines, you know, behavioral control. But then I was praising and ranting over this guideline because, look, that's exactly the etiquette that I have. And when she realized, okay, all right, she doesn't have any problem there, that would give her an impetus to come into this Bible study, this Genesis creation story Bible study. You know, she was talking all these childish, you know, ideas to me. That doesn't make any sense. Like the cow jumps over the moon, you know, and the look Mr. Grum's Master Willy kind of ideas. You know what I mean? And she's actually saying, she made the statement to me and said, you know, these kind of figure or fairy tale type stuff in the Bible, it helps people to know the Lord. It helps children, you know what I mean, to know that. So I brought it out to her and said, you know, these things, that cannot be logical. You can't teach people these kind of unrealistic things and expect them to come to know God that way. It goes to show that the Spirit God is not anything real. Because why you have to tell people, children or anybody else, fairy tales in the Bible to bring them to a knowledge of the Spirit God? Come on. Anyway, you know, when this psychologist lady realized that, look, she was into something that is over her head. Yes. She took off. She pulled her friendship. She pulled her friendship. Yes. And that was the last I've heard of her. And, of course, I met her through another friend of mine on Facebook from Germany, who introduced her, because she was in the background when that friend and myself were talking and debating some stuff. And she wanted a piece of it. Well, she came in and she'd be my friend. And then this was the end of her. She ran. And now none of them be my friends because they're under this fictional Bible with a fictional God that exists nowhere. Nobody knows anywhere on any planet that he is. He's out there in the gases. They don't know. They call it heaven. Okay? One conventional heaven in the blue sky. That's where he's at. In the blue skies. So, I don't know. We're out there. I'm looking now, right now. I don't know where to point to what longitude or latitude of the blue sky that God of the Bible is located. Only thing that I can tell you for sure, the character of the God in the Bible is the Pope of Rome. I can tell you that with a certainty. And if you want me to make those make the comparison between these two characters, I can ably, amply do that if you haven't heard me take a crack at it before. All right? So what I'm trying to say to you, I mean, stop thinking about you're born in sin, man, and that you need the blood of Jesus Christ to wash you clean, and you need atonement for your sin, because that's thinking underneath the fictional script of the Bible. Not true. All right. Now, you're listening to the Caribbean Radio Show, and you're listening to Timothy Aldred, I mean, the author of Bamboozle, the St. Catherine boy out of the woods of St. Catherine. You know, I mean, so, you know, traverse through Spanish Town. I lived in Spanish Town a while. Live in Kingston, too. Yeah. And look, I, you know, work all over the place. Chapleton in Clarendon, you know, and down in Westmoreland. I've been around the place and drove all around the place to all these weather stations and carry all these nice, lovely people to, I mean, get the weather there, right? And look, I'm telling you these things that you understand and familiarize yourself with this guy, you know, and the only thing that brought me here to be talking to you is because there's something in my head that shows me something is wrong with society. I've been sensing it a long time before I was able to even express the way I feel. I saw it. I sensed it. Now, I'm putting my finger on it. That's what I wanted to do. I am not all that up there in the language, but look, I have been, I think I have been saying enough that people are understanding me, that we have grown up into a fictional environment, and this Bible that we have, we need to chuck it. That's right. Chuck it. Because unlike what they are telling us, that it is a book of God. No, we don't have any God that creates us wrong, man. It's not true. I read the history. It's not in history. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Go and read history that is older than 2,000 years ago, and you will not find a Adam and Eve. You will not find a God and a devil like what they're telling us. Chuck this Bible. Any experience you have had, get to know what is going on in your cortex, in your brain. Because look, we are hybrid life. Okay, we came out of other life, intelligent life. That's what makes us intelligent. There were not intelligent human beings on Earth all along. It happened at a certain time. Through scientific manipulation. Okay? Yes. DNA transfer, my friends. So don't you make anybody kid and fool you about the experience, the psychological experience you're having, okay? And like, you know, God talking to you. It's not true. It is not true. You got to understand the way the energy that is in us, the way it works. And what they're writing in the Bible and telling about Adam and Eve and a God who, it's just all an illusory, I mean, type of thinking about a God who make this world and he did all this bad stuff. When he was by himself, he meditated on evil, so he created evil. He had a war in heaven and throw them down on the earth, and this is what he caused. You just set aside this fictional script. Your life is going to be okay. All right, good. All right. Let me bring to just, a pause to that line of reasoning, and hope you have got something from that. Now, we want to talk about why this is midstream stuff I'm talking about. I cover the precedents to let you know we don't have any foundation, no precedents for the Bible and the sin and transgression that we here think we are under. Why we have all these churches scattered all over the place, okay? You can see they're all confused and, you know, and going nowhere, okay? And every evil is in our society, though we have all these churches, and you're going to blame people and say they don't want to serve God. But look at those who in there and say they're serving God. Well, I agree that, you know, a lot of people who go to church are not out there, you know, I mean, committing crimes and all that. Because most people who go to church, they're going there because they have a fear of this Bible God, and they're, you know, they're not going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit and all that. So, yes, so you do have less crime among church people, I would say. But the hierarchy, the people who invented Christianity, They are the ones who every day are working, you know, evil, setting up evil to keep folks dedicated to the Bible and, you know, and have fear of a God who, you know, who's not really doing anything for you. And they are telling you he's blessing you. He's providing the air for you to breathe. He's doing all of these things. This is what they're doing. You see, because you and I did not make these churches. You know what I mean? Because if you and I were going to make church, wouldn't we make one of our own? We wouldn't join other people's church, right? We wouldn't make our own church, right? I mean, there's a lot of things of this. So what I'm trying to point your mind to, I mean, you're relying and think that God is out there and you need to serve God and how can you not praise God? Well, I'm telling you, you're under the script, the fictional script. Go under the real script, history. And even the Bible you have, God never tell Adam and Eve to pray. He didn't tell them to go worship anywhere. As a matter of fact, when he kicked them out, what happened to the worship if he wanted worship from them? They were not going to give him any worship. Would he? No. No. There was nobody there to worship him. And the garden was going to be there. I mean, what was this garden for if he's going to kick these two people out? It doesn't say there was anybody else left there. Right? And God is a spirit. He didn't want the garden anyway. So, and if you read the story, you will see that it's not making any sense. And when I'm telling you that, look, this is not something for you to rely on, put your soul on it, and think, oh, you know, there is a heaven to gain and a God to glorify. It's not true. It is not true. The basis on which we were created is not like the Bible is telling us. And my friend, Mr. Education Minister, Mr. Palace Man, he's under the fictional script and he's thinking that when he wakes up in the morning and he prays, you know, I mean, to God and, you know, I mean, folks send him some helping hand for the education, you know, he's doing, I mean, you know, project in Jamaica. He think God is providing. But my friend, I mean, King Ruler Brown, listen to me. Look, if God was providing for Palace, I mean, there are a lot of things out there people are doing God is not helping with, man. Come on. Why do you think God loves you more than he loves other people? I mean, a lot of people suffering and all that and crying out and praying to God. And he ain't doing a darn thing for them, King. What I'm trying to tell you, King, you've got to find out what energy is working for you. One thing, you are a great man. You know, I mean, you have such energy and you're appealing. You know, people are going to fall in and help you with what you're doing. Because guess what? I mean, every word that comes out of your mouth, it is something that has a positive energy, man. You see? So you got to understand, look, I mean, people who have high integrity and understand the value of education, I mean, you think these people don't understand and know that? Well, when you attribute that to God, man, it's all mistaken in identity, you see? Because you don't really have a partial God out there. Why should the God who create the world, create all of us, hate some of us, want to see some of us prosper, and the others do not prosper? 2 and 2 is 4. You know, so, I mean, if we're lucky. Look, this world is made up of luck. The energy spin luck for people. And if you begin to, whip up some positive energy on you, people are sensing that energy too. You see, and like one of my friends told me last night, I don't attract bad people. You know, I mean, so that's the thing about it. But and King Ruler, you do not attract bad people. You attract good people because, you know what? You're a upright man. You are serious. And that's why you do good things and you prosper. But attributing it to the God in the Bible, man, you know, think about what this God has done, man. I mean, he make people and he said that they rebel against him. I mean, and it was his responsibility to make them sound and sober. He did not. Come on, man. He knows all things. He know what he's putting in the brain and everything and the pineal eye and your glands and everything with the information that he put in there, the proteins and the, you know, and the electrons and everything. He knows how he wire people. Now, we are talking about this fictional God. and all the abilities that they put to this God. He knows everything. So why make everything and it gets out of his hand, and now, you know, he hates some people, he loves some people. You're into the script that the Roman people write, man. They love some people and they hate some people, right? I mean, God don't have no woman, and neither do they. You know what I mean? So if you look at what I'm saying, you're going to find out that you have a good, solid stool to sit on. You see what I mean? This is academic 101. Right? Yes, this is the right academics to have in your brain to guide you. You know the real world and you understand what's going on. I mean, get into the real history about life, man. But this Bible here is onto metaphysics, brother. Telling you about a God who live out there in the universally blue skies out there. Didn't tell none of the prophets where. He has not disclosed that. It's clandestine. You know what I mean? Nobody knows where this God lives, man. So you think if I can find this out, you can definitely, I mean, sort this out. Because, I mean, it's like I am, you know, I learned this thing from just knowing words and look at history. Look at what the Bible is saying. You know, it has scraps of, you know, little ancient civilized people and stuff. It doesn't tell you the real thing. It's a cunning, I mean, it's a craft. I mean, it's a novel that they use and just write characters in it, man, and make up this big God, you know, with good name. But, I mean, he stinks. Like I said, he's not a nice guy, man. Look at what he did to Adam and Eve. He didn't show no forgiveness there. He didn't show anything that these two people are the specimen, you know, for the world that would be developed. He did not show that. You see what I'm trying to say to you? So clearly, I am showing and demonstrating with clarity that, look, by no means, this Bible stands no chance of authenticity. No way. No way. This God doesn't make anything, man. He does not exist. And his character stinks, like I said. It's not, look. Somebody would say, I mean, how can he talk about the Bible like that? But you know what? My life is messed up because of it. And there is no history. No history. Listen to me. There is no history on earth that corroborates this God. They can talk about how much scientists are corroborating the Bible, but not the God. Scientists have not corroborated this spirit God yet. Neither has science corroborate the devil. Neither has science corroborate Adam and Eve. They have not corroborate a Garden of Eden. At least they should be able to. See? So they want to talk about a place where the garden. Well, what happened to the tree? I mean, if the garden is no longer there, why the tree of life is not there? Why, it dead? I mean, it run out of water in its root? Listen, what I'm trying to tell you, folks, you think I'm joking? No, this guy ain't joking. I'm not smoking. I never smoke. And look, this is knowledge, my friend. Knowledge. And you don't have anybody out there competent, with any competence, to counter what I'm showing you. Because I'm pointing to evidence that is in our faces. You can't get rid of it. You see? We were not created by a spirit God, you see, and we don't have any source, any process that proves what the Genesis God is about. We just do not, my friend. I mean, fortunately, because we would be in serious trouble if that were true. If the God of the Bible were the God that created all things, look, I'll tell you, we would have no hope, because this God is as crazy, crazier than anybody in Bellevue in Jamaica there. This God has no use. You don't understand that. The God of the Bible has no earthly use. And if that's your God, then I tell you what, you need to get into the Bellevue Hospital, because you know what? You may be doing a lot of important things, but I tell you what, unless you get your brain fixed with history, you are in darkness. You believe that Jesus is the light of the world and this God that made us, you know, we sin against him and we rebel and stuff. All that, those are maggots wiggling in your brain, my friends. Because nothing in history that tells us that is true. The Romans, who don't respect your life, they don't respect you. Telling you about prophets from this slimy God, Amos, Jeremiah, all these guys. Come on, their prophecy never fulfilled. Yeah, I mean, you're just assuming it's fulfilled, but I mean, we people who read history and look at it, it never happened. There's no Jesus that came onto this planet. A man born of a woman and a man. Yeshua. That's the man that they are using. Because the guy was smart and, you know maybe a few mystic things. They're trying to make him walk on water and do all these kind of things, and now eventually change his name. So what I'm trying to say to you here is something for you to cut your teeth on, my friends. And, you know, hopefully you're able to gravitate to something in what I say that will start you on a path of redeeming yourself. Come on, listen. I don't have the type of things that society people have to open doors for them. But I have logic. You know what I mean? Powerful logic. And I don't have lies on my tongue like they do. Talk about judges. Talk about lawyers. And I'm not saying all of them. But in general, they are the exceptions, but the majority of them, I would risk to say, they're corrupt, lies. And don't talk about ministers. Every minister is a liar. I can say that comfortably. I'm not saying that they're liars intentionally. That's not what I'm saying. But they are in gross error. Because the Bible lies. And the fact that you're carrying the Bible and teaching it to people, you are complicit with the lies. It makes you a liar. Once you're preaching the Bible to people, you are a liar. Plain and simple. Okay? We do not have a real world that the Bible represents, my friend. Not that God that you are preaching about, that the Bible is talking about, that Spirit God who make the heaven and the earth in 6 days and rest on a seventh day. It's just not true. And nobody has proven that true. And besides, it's not in real history. It's a Bible. Are you waiting to send your Bible to the Queen? That's right. Put it in a nice parcel and give it to her for a Christmas gift. That's right. And you know what? What you ought to do is get you a bamboozled, either borrow one. That's right. There are a lot of books out there. But I mean, hey, you know what? I know what is in bamboozled. I wrote it. I know what is in it. You hear my speech, my argument, right? And look, I am not asking you for anything. It's knowledge. I couldn't just go out there and talk. I mean, if I didn't write the book, I wouldn't be here talking to you. Because, I mean, nobody would know about me. You know what I mean? You have to produce something. And look, I produce a scholarly book based on a doctorate history. Yes. And all of the citations, you see the book. I mean, look, this book is just up there. There's nothing up there that, I mean, is going to walk over this book. And you don't have any scholar out there to disqualify this book. You may have people who are going to come out and talk a bunch of gibberish and preach it's Jesus kind of rhetoric. But they cannot face the caliber of intelligent, reasoning in the book. You cannot. Because, Genesis creation story, it's all fiction. You cannot prove that to be a real story. And the book of Matthew is based on the old spurious Bible entirely. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Come on. You know, it's the Romans who, you know, do all this iniquity in Israel, and they come to produce it and tell you it's salvation for you. So come on, my friends. Listen, if you have this type of, you know, I mean, zest for thinking and reasoning, then you're going to realize that this guy, Tim, you know, I mean, hey, I mean, best I ever heard. That's right. You know what? He ain't going to get better. I'm not the only one, you know what I mean? But look, I am telling you, what I'm talking to you about is something very, very serious, my friends. And it's going to cost you to migrate from that dark world of Jesus into real historical light. It's going to cost you. I'm telling you. It cost me. So what do you expect? This is not the cow jumping over the moon and little ducks laughing. No, it's not what it is. This is not a story from the Queen. This is not the slavery type of ideology and Christmas and Easter. That's not what it is. Because I'm telling you, all of that comes from under the fictional script of the Bible, my friends. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That's right. I am your friend. You think the Queen is your friend? You think the Pope is your friend? You better forget it. You think the preacher in the pulpit is your friend? This guy right here, I am your friend, because I am telling you a truth that they ain't going to tell you. You see, they want your money. You see, you think I want your money? I mean, hey, I'm telling you to buy the Bamboozle book, because you know what? It worth more than money. Any money you're going to use to buy that book. I mean, like my friend asked me, I mean, the Bible, you said the Bible is this and that. I mean, you know, I mean, but I mean, what about your book, Bamboozle? I'm telling you something. Look, it's not reasonable for you to compare a Bamboozle book with the Bible, because you know what? Bamboozle is exposing the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible that exposes Bamboozle. Nothing. Nothing. You hear what I'm telling you? There is nothing in the Bible that exposes Bamboozle. But Bamboozle exposes the Bible. I mean, look, they said, a Catholic lady told me that the Catholic Church does not want them to read Dan Brown's book. Mm-hmm. They want them to read Dan Brown's book. You know why? Because the novel exposes the key iniquity of the church. The iniquity on which the church is built. You see, the fraudulent Jesus Christ that they have created. I got to give it to them. They have maneuvered this Jesus thing in a way that it really, really giving people a hard time to figure out. But you know what? They couldn't catch me at the time when I begin to look at it. You know, all the 50 years or 40-something years, I've been believing in that stuff. I couldn't see anything. But you see, from the time I start to see, I run past, most people. You see, because look, I became married to words. I get the science, the juice out of words. And you know what? They couldn't escape me. I see the maneuver, what they have done. Okay? They changed this man's name. This man never named Jesus. He didn't know himself to be Jesus. He didn't know himself to do these things that they are writing in the Bible about him. Right? But Rome is the one who pin him down. I mean, spike him through his arteries. You know, I mean, his foot and his hands, you know, down on this cross. Right? And turn around and say he came from heaven. Which nobody on earth knew anything about a man coming from some the blue skies out there to save anybody in the world. It's not in history. Now, you know, it depresses me when I talk that and people still do not get it. What in it you are not getting? That once I begin to see this, gradually, it's something is definitely wrong. And I continue to unravel the confusion of the Bible. Because I read history and I say, history doesn't give me any problem at all. Because it's the history of people from primordial times coming right up to when the Romans created this A.D. Anno Domini year of this false, bogus mafia, Jesus Christ. Can't you see? And telling us about we're born in sin. Look, let them take that, you know, and keep it for themselves. Because they're the ones who need to be washed off the iniquity that they have done. And of course, you know, I mean, I have a paper here that doctor have been always reading. The confession of the Pope. Or this Pope, John Paul II. Right? Back in the year 2000. An article appeared in the in the newspaper where he apologized for the sins of the Catholic against the Jewish people and society at large. Iniquity, evil things that they have done to advance this Jesus Christ that they have created, my friends. And look, if you're out there having a problem with what I'm saying, and you're in love with Jesus and stuff like that, something is kind of wrong, man. You need to see a psychiatrist, you know what I mean? No joke about that. Something is wrong because you at least you need to, I mean, get right with academics. You know, words. If you need to be able to use words to, I mean, shine some light, illumination, for you to be able to see what they have done with Yeshua. No, they nailed this guy down. Right, because he was, you know, somebody who is a threat to them, right? And I'm going to get to the subject of my talk today. All right, I'm leading up to it, but they, you know, I mean, you're going to see, I mean, some funny thing plays out here because, you know, I'm the one to do it. It's in me. I got it. I see it. So all I'm going to do is say it, and you know, I mean, people are there who, you know, coming along, and then, you know, something's wrong in their mind, but like. My stepson was talking to one of his colleague, you know, his friends, and talking about some of these, you know, just things that you just can't fathom that the Bible is talking about. And his friend said to him, you know what, Johnny man, I see some of these things too, you know, but you know what, you know, they're bothering me. But guess what? I'm afraid to talk about it, man. I'm afraid to talk about it, Johnny, because what? I'm afraid to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, man. You know, well, I have to tell you, I mean, every Christian is afraid of blaspheming against the Holy Ghost because, I mean, this fictional Jesus is telling you in the Bible, man, that if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, every sin is forgiven, saving the sin of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. If you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, the one who is supposed to work to save you, I mean, you have no forgiveness in this world, nor the one to come. Think about this. It's the mafia writing that, my friends. It's no anointed prophet. It's no, look, I mean, when you come to understand exactly the real world you're in, you'll find out there's nothing sacred in this world. And you have no God out there. We don't know that God who is good enough that would make a world and everything got out of his hand and he's trying to save. We don't know that God. Look, let the Roman keep that God. Let the Queen keep that God. Those who want to revere this God. I mean, hey, look, Lord, oh, Lord. You know, my, you know, this is just drive my stomach nauseous. Nauseous. Yes, it makes me nauseous. And somebody might say, I mean, Tim, are you just carrying on? Let me tell you something. You know, tell me how you feel when you come out of a wilderness where you were trapped at, man, 40-something, 50 years. Tell me how you would feel. No, when you come out of that wilderness, you know, you will tell me how you feel, right? But right now, I'm liberated right now. And look, you know, this was what I yearned for. I yearn for the ability to articulate the way I see things and what I sense. Okay, and what my feelings is about the way what I see, okay, and what I have sensed. And I am telling you right now, this is the trickery, my friends. They nailed this guy because they did not think that he was one who is just trying to save people. Okay, and if you tell me, if they didn't think that he was about to boot them out of the country, why would they be trying to kill him? I'm going to tell you more to this story. I'm just giving you an hint. You think about that. If you have a little logic in your brains, you're going to know for yourself. They wouldn't be trying to kill Jesus. You know his real name is Yeshua, okay? All right. So they would not be trying to destroy this fellow unless they thought he threatened them. Why would they be killing him? Why? I'm going to tell you more a more bizarre thing to this very story. Okay, if you're there and you're having problem with me talking about Jesus and God of the Bible, and you think I'm some atheist, by I am done, you will not have the same tongue in your head to talk about me being an atheist or agnostic. Agnostic of what? An atheist to what God that I don't believe in? I mean, you are going to understand that the God of the Bible is not anything that you know enough about to believe. Okay? That's right. You hear me. You know, I'm able to talk loving and nice and stuff like that. But you know, I'm still loving. I get stern, but I'm still loving. Because you know what? This is not something to play with. You cannot have mafia people invent a book and give it to us, right? And spread it around, and you have, I mean, their bloodline, queen and everybody, who is now stucking it down our intellectual gut, right? And we are here, I mean, struggling to understand, you know, I mean, whether this is true or not. Is this guy telling me the truth, or he's trying to bamboozle me? You're not supposed to be asking this, because you're supposed to relate to some basic logic in what I'm saying. And like I'm saying to you, look, why they kill him? And you're going to say, is it God's plan? What God's plan? The same fictional God as you go around on a carousel, you come back to the same God that is fiction. You know what I mean? And you're going to, weigh what I'm saying, the great precious logic, you can't see it. You cannot fathom it because of this, I mean, spurious God, man. Come on. You know what I mean? So not unless you get rid of this fictional God, you will not see, you will not understand, you will not look, you will always be in that darkness and loving it. Because guess what? Like I told you, Christianity is not based upon you understanding, getting a little knowledge about this God and heaven and anything. No, just believe it. You see? And it's not something that is coming along in history. It is something that they have just invented the other day. And what I'm trying to tell you, clues that I'm giving you, why did they try to kill this fellow? Why? Well, of course, I'm kind of giving away, clues to what I am going to say. But look, why did they kill him? Spike him down as punishment. This was not just a ordinary attempt to kill this man, you know. Because I'm saying attempt to kill him because, of course, based on the history, he was taken down before he died, you know what I mean? And they trying to present that, oh, he died on the cross. No, and like, oh, they look and make sure he was dead before they took him down off the cross. But based on the real history, that was a lie. His friend took him down. You see? And they build up a story to say, this guy died and then he was in a tomb and he raised up from the dead. All of this is all just egregious lies. Okay, the Bible is not going to tell you the truth, because if it lies about a spurious a God who made the world, then lie about everything else. Or in other words, if they tell any other truth, it's not consequential to our interest. Let them keep all that. Okay, I don't want them to tell me any truth, because they lie first about the God who made the world and made us. If they lie about that, you know, then they lie. They will. They're lying about the most essential thing that serves their purpose, not ours. Okay. So don't bring this Bible and make it seem as though it's a good book. It helped you. Look, it helped you because that's all you had. And what you learned from the Bible, they took it from someplace else. What helped you is not a revelation from God. Not a revelation. Now, so you see, I'll tell you something. Somebody may be very offended by my tone and stuff like that. But look, let me tell you something. When the thunder claps outside and rattles your window, it's not asking you to accommodate it, okay? And indeed, I am not going to ask anybody to accommodate me either. What you ought to think about is whether or not what I'm saying is real. Am I talking the truth? Don't think about I'm talking and I yell and stuff like that, because that's no good. That's neither here or there. You know what I mean? what you ought to be concerned with is this guy talking the truth. And I need to go and do some research and find out. If you want to sit down and live in the bliss of a Jesus Christ and a spirit God, and you think that's what the world is made up by, then sit with it, okay? That's all up to you. But what I'm telling you is odd core truth, my friends. And it's up to you to wake out of it. You've been infected with this spurious Bible story that I know is a plastic. It doesn't value anything. It's not in command of life. It's not about life. It's not the manual for your life. It's a deception. You're deceived and deluded when you think that the Bible is the manual for your life. That's what they preach and tell you. That the Bible is the word of God. It's a manual. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest lie that anybody could tell. The Bible is not a manual for your life. Okay. All right. So let me get on over now to midstream arguments. Just to show you, because this is more impacting to people than even me talking about the origin and talking about precedents, because a lot of people they've never heard the word precedents before, neither do they know what it means. Okay, someday along the way, you who do not know will understand the gravity of the word precedence and why it is important in the scheme of your belief, okay? So what I'm saying here is this. We want to talk about the Romans in Israel and why do they want to kill the baby Jesus, okay? So right now, I'm not talking about when they crucified Yeshua. Because who they are talking about, born of a virgin and three wise men, they are talking about the Jewish man Yeshua, Joseph and Mary's son. They were Austrian Jews, okay? And when you read the book, The Passover Plot. Think about this book, okay? The Passover Plot. You get it? Passover. PASSOVER. PLOT. Plot. The Passover Plot, okay? Scofield, I think the name of the author is, but I mean, you know, it's only one Passover plot out there. you can get it from your library. Yeah, get it from the library. You don't even have to buy the book. It's written by Jews, okay, and tells about the Mary and Joseph, and tells about how he was born. And tells about this whole thing about the crucifixion, the arrest and the crucifixion, and tell you about how he was taken down from the cross by his friend. Okay? So what we are to know here is that the Bible is not your friend. Okay? It's produced by the Romans and lie about Jewish people crucify Christ when they were the ones who occupied the country and was killing all these people and nailed them down when they object to their presence there. Okay, so you don't want to use the Bible as a book to tell you about God and to tell you about your life. It's not a manual. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The Bible is not a manual for your life. Okay, get it done in your head. It's not a manual for your life, like your driver's manual for your car. Your car is, you're getting your car from a manufacturer. You go down there and you buy your car. You're using your five senses to buy a car. You don't use your five senses to buy a Bible, do you? No. Because you believe the whole junk that is in the Bible. You don't know anything about it. But you're going to pay some money for it, or somebody gave one to you. And you start believing everything is in there because they told you it's a word of God. Well, I'm telling you, it's no word of God like you think. Because we don't have a world where that gotten out of God's hand and he's trying to save people who are rebellious and going against his word. My friends, it's a fiction. That's why this thing is so complex and confusing. You'll never understand this Bible. It's labyrinth. Labyrinth. It's a maze. You don't ever go up to Hope Garden off Hope Road. I mean, in Kingston City. You ever go to Hope Gardens? Yes. You know what I mean? The Bible, I mean, is full of things in there, you know, I mean, that makes you live in hopes that you may die in constant spring, like we always say. The Bible is not a manual for your life. So this is what I'm talking about. It lies everywhere, just about everywhere, everywhere. And you ever read the book of Revelation? Look, the book of Revelation is so corrosive. There's nothing in there that you understand that makes sense. That's right. So come on with me. I'm telling you right now. Now, I'm going to disclose something that you probably, somebody out there, I would assume, have already looked into this, okay? And I am going to go over it because I know a lot of people have not, because I have not. For years and years, I have not been able to see this. But I'm seeing things day by day. And this is one that you ought to think about. If you're going to see how the lies have been used to, you know, to deceive us by saying the Bible is a good book. Look, Jesus is at the heart of church and Christianity. Jesus Christ coming into the world, right? And it is based upon the life in Israel. Abraham chosen people, Jesus came into them to save us. And they turned against him to the Gentiles. All this old bunch of, you know, they call it in Jamaica, horse dead and cow fat. So, sorry. All right. What I'm trying to show you is this. Pay attention to what I'm saying. St. Matthew 2. Read St. Matthew 2. All right? And you go, I want to just narrate this. Just talk because you can read for yourself. I'm going to tell you a narration, okay? And I'm going to give you the sense. Remember, and see if you can keep these two things apart and juxtapose them. Line them up next to each other, okay? Watch what I'm going to tell you because this is key to the falsehood of Jesus, okay? And this Yeshua. They make Yeshua to be Jesus, okay? And let me show you this. When Yeshua was born, and they talking about these three wise men and all these kind of, you know, things that they're talking. What I'm focusing on, they are saying, writing in the Bible, inspired Bible, that three wise men came in, and they came to Herod. Who is Herod? The king is a king. King Herod. He's a Roman. He's Roman's man. Rome. And how long since he's been there? Between B.C. 73, you know, till, 4 B.C., somewhere along that line, right? When I guess he either dead or somebody replaced it. Right? So he spent a long time there. Alright? Now, it is interesting that you read that story and bear in mind what I'm saying, because we always read it and just believe it. But now you're going to think about it with your intellect, because we're removing darkness right now. Removing darkness. That's what I am doing. Now, God sent the three wise men in there. God knows that Rome is up to no good because they are killing his people there. Okay? Nailing, crucifying them. God up in heaven, he knows that. Now, if he's sending three wise men to find his son Jesus, born of the virgin, like they say. Don't you think God is able to send them directly to where the baby's at? Does he need to send his three wise men to Herod, to King Herod? Does he? That's a snafu in the narrative. They should not have written that in there. But they're not clever enough. Well, clever enough to make people believe it all, I mean, for centuries and centuries. But, you know, but look, it's being busted right now as I'm talking about it. Because God, you know, they teach us that God does all kind of foolishness to his purpose, okay? Don't you ever think that a perfect God is going to do something so stupid and talk about his working, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those according to his purpose. God's purpose has not worked on earth. His kingdom has come, but it hasn't worked. You see what I mean? Because there's just no way you intercept your own doings. Why are you going to intercept your own doing and say it's for a good purpose? It doesn't happen like that. Common sense would tell you that if God was going to say, run away from this man because he's going to kill your son, why wouldn't he then send the three wise men straight there? Why would they send him to Herod? What is the good purpose of sending them to Herod? Who's going to say, look, when you find him, come back and tell me because I want to worship him too. You're going to read in that narrative where God, after they came to Herod, Herod didn't know where the child Jesus would be born. He went to the scribes, the Jewish scribes, and they told him, the prophet said, in Bethlehem of Judea. Imagine that. The prophet. Now, you believe they go to anything happen like what they're talking about? They went, these three wise men came to Herod. You believe that? Now, believe that is as believing in the God out in the clear blue sky, right? You don't know whether he's there or not, right? You're just assuming that he make the world, he's out there, right? But that's not the way it works, my friend. That's not the way it works. And if you're under that fictional type of idea, my friend, it's ignorance. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's ignorance. That's not the way we know the world through belief, through a Bible, from the Italian mafia. They don't want to tell us about the world. All right, come back to what I'm saying to you. Look at the points I am making. This perfect, all-knowing God has a reason to protect Jesus Christ. Why he sent the three wise men to Herod then? Huh? I mean, what's the security there? He put Jesus at risk. And when Jesus could stay right there and grow up, no, Herod, no, that this child is born. So look, he got to go after him, right? Tell the wise men to come back and let him know when they find him. And guess what? Guess what? The more you read the story, is the more you find foolishness, just garbage in this story. There's just no you have an intelligent God who is doing what they're writing about three wise men. It's astrology, it's foolishness the writing, but they think it's strong enough to really hold people. And of course, it has been holding people, quite a bit. But now, we have a chance now to chop it up and show that it's not making any sense. And if you think this is saving you, my friends, keep on doing it. Keep on, because that's what makes you happy and feel comfortable. Go ahead. But for those of you with your intellect active and you're into this and say, oh, let me see what Tim is saying here. And you say, well, wow, he's making sense. So I'm saying God did not send the three wise men straight to Bethlehem where the prophet said he would be born. Why is God doing all of that? I mean, from the Garden of Eden, God has been doing some serious things that don't make any sense. And only, to the detriment of human suffering. Everything God has done from the start, including making man, you know, is to the pain and suffering of mankind. Mankind, he has trapped mankind into evil by his own down action. Can't you see? All right, so again, he's sending the three wise men, and he's not sending them where the prophet says. So that's something there. Something ain't right. Something not right. Can't you see? something is not right. Why God has not sent this is the three wise men? We're in Bethlehem, where the child would be born. Send them to Herod, who is killing off these people. And look at what is going to happen. As a result of what they did, of what God did. Once Herod, King Herod, found out from the scribe that the prophet says he would be, you know, born in Bethlehem of Judea, he sent the wise men on their way to go find him. All right? Watch this. Unraveling time. Unravel this foolishness now, my friend. All right? That's what we're doing. Unraveling. We're dispelling this darkness that they used to trap us all centuries. The three wise men now on their way to Bethlehem of Judea, right? They have their frankincense and myrrh. Okay? All right? They went and they found this child. But guess what? They were warned not to go back to Herod. Why? Why not? God sent them to him. So why shouldn't they go back and tell him? If God don't want... What is God's plan right now? Right? So you see, it's not making any sense. All right. But guess what? Once the wise men came and delivered their gifts, God sent an angel. See, this is how they screw up our head. They screw up our head because guess what? They don't have any evidence for what they're writing. So they're going to have to put some phantom into it. You see, phantom deliver Christ into Mary's womb. You know, understand that? From parts unknown and by the Holy Spirit unknown. You know what I mean? All of these things that just, they're corrosive. These are infectious things that they're writing in the Bible for you to believe. That's why I'm telling you, the application of the word belief is very deadly, my friends. Because belief is to be used in an academic, conventional way, not in the way they are applying it in Bible, where you just believe in these dynamics that you don't know about. All right, so they gone. God sent an angel and tell Joseph, you're reading in the St. Matthew 2nd chapter. Are you reading it? That's right. And he sent the angel and said, look, go take Mary and the child out of here. Get them out of here right now. Because look, Herod, he's going to destroy it. Herod is going to destroy baby Jesus. Now, guess what? When you read the script, you're going to find out the reason why Herod wanted to destroy Jesus. Herod, knowing about this baby that is born now, he's going to grow up into a man, right? You know what he's going to do? According to the Jewish history, see, what they're talking about, the scribe says, the prophets say he would be born in Bethlehem of Judah. You know what Jewish prophecy is about? You know, I mean, it's not that it's from any divine God out in the heavens or anything, you know. It's their religion. It's Judaism. Over the years, these people have their religion, Judaism. And they have what they call, they came from the gods. The beginning of Jewish religion was not based on a God Almighty. It's Yahweh. And who is Yahweh? You think it's God up in heaven? No! No, it's the Elohim, the gods, one of the gods. Yes. Yes, they don't. These people don't know no God out in heaven. Nobody know the God out in no blue skies. No, they know the Elohim who gave them land and all this kind of stuff. That's what, you know, Abraham, promised land and all that. It's not no God out in the blue skies they're talking about. They are now spinning the story and want us to think it's God out in the blue skies, but that's not the case. When you read real history, you understand where this thing is coming from. But what I'm saying to you is look at the way they are saying God is working his plan. He sent the three wise men to Herod, who he knows want to kill baby Jesus. What? Is God trying to show that he's so great? He even though he tell Herod he can't kill Jesus, he's showing Herod that he's great? Why would God want to prove anything to this king Herod? Huh? If you're God Almighty, would you be proving anything to King Herod? Of course not. I mean, it is stupidity to think that God wants to prove to man that he's powerful. Get that out of your head. These are the things that bind us to the biblical nonsense that we you're reading, okay? It's a bunch of fictional stuff that they spend time sporting writing, okay? So now, God is telling Joseph to take Mary and the child out of Judea, out of Bethlehem. Take them out of here, because King Herod will destroy him, okay? Now, I'm saying, why did he send the wise men to Herod in the first place? Do you find anything that makes sense here? Or are you going to tell me, well, you know, you don't know everything God does. You don't know God's purpose. I mean, come on, get out of here with that. Because, I mean, from the get-go, all of the things that God is doing that's not kosher, it only caused mankind to suffer. That's what it does. If God's ways cannot bless us and make us prosper, why are we living here and saying that God's doings is something that we are to accept, though we don't understand it? We have had enough of what we do not understand, my friends. Can't you see? Enough. Enough of the foolishness. And people who are taking your money to say God says so. Listen to me. Let them go ahead and have it for themselves. But you know what? If you're intelligent enough, you're not going to buy it, because, you know, 2 and 2 in our system of counting equals 4. All right? So all of the things that God has been doing from the Garden of Eden only cause mankind to suffer. Now, it couldn't be the same God that make the oxygen for us to breathe. It cannot be the same God. You see? Because the God who make the oxygen, it has forever served a good purpose. The God that made mankind, he doesn't know to make things work good for mankind. He does not. And his agents are invisible. The devil. God is invisible. The devil is invisible. And I do not know how these people come to write all these things that God say this, God say that. You know what I mean? Come on. So what I'm saying to you is, watch this. So now they are saying that God tell Joseph to run out of Bethlehem because Herod is going to destroy him. And so Herod commanded. When these guys did not come back, what did he do? He sent his people to go out and slaughter all infants under 2 years old, isn't it? Gave a decree to kill all the babies under 2 years. Isn't that what it says? That's what the story says, right? All right. So Jesus would be killed because, yeah, we need to say why he wanted to kill Jesus as a baby. If he knew that Jesus was just merely coming to save the world, like the New Testament is telling us, and the prophecies that they have contrived up says, he wouldn't want have any reason to kill him. Think about that. Now you tell me, would King Herod have reason to kill Jesus as a baby if he thought that he was just coming to save the world? Who did the Bible says, the prophet says, would kill Jesus? Did it say the Romans? It does not. So they wouldn't know by what means he was supposed to die then. Of course not. What reason then is offered to justify King Herod seeking after the baby to kill him? Don't want him ever to come alive. What is the reason? If you have some intellect, you have a sense of reason, you have common sense, and you talk about God can do anything, well, look. Go to Rome with that. Go to the Vatican with that, because they're the one who wrote this. Okay? We can't find anything, a precedent, a Garden of Eden or Adam and Eve to support any of this. Right? So they are inventing all of this. 3 wise men, which is all astrological, story they're writing. Okay? And if you can't fathom this, my friends, I'm sorry for you. Okay? But clearly, the common knowledge of the time, if you know anything about Jewish history, was that this Messiah that they were expecting. The Bible talks about the Messiah who should come in the lineage of David. Why do you think it was important? Or, well, not important, but why? It is written that the one that the Jewish people expect is a real human, not a demigod, not one, a cross breed between a spirit God and coming to take on flesh. No, this thing about taking on flesh, my friends, something spurious, man. It is something that contrived up. You see, it's all in the Romans machine. It's mafia talking to us about the word was in the beginning with God and come and take on flesh. It's all egregious lie. Phantom in the script, you know, I mean, imposing on us to accept it as true. It's not in our literal experience, my friends. Ain't no word take on flesh and dwell amongst men, and we beheld his glory. What glory of God have we beheld? We have beheld no such a thing, my friends. And those who are there are talking about glory of God, and thank God. You don't know what's going on in the world right now. What is going on in the world right now? I mean, there could not have been a God who's trying to save us and have the world so filthy, wretched, and vile. People are just killing each other, and you and I don't dare walk at certain spot on this planet Earth into some people's province, because they would drain your blood out of you. They don't care anything about your breathing. This is what I came into the world and I have found. You think that I'm talking nonsense. Get to know the real world. That's right. Get to know the real world, my friends. I'm just simply making identification. I mean, read this Bible and you understand that this Bible is antithetical. It's not a book that is talking about us. You know, send yours and give the Pope, give the Queen, give it to them. I'm telling you, give it to them. Give it to them. Okay? Browse a copy of Bamboozled, Besieged by Lies, Man Never a Sinner. That's right. Yeah. Browse that book for free. Enhance your knowledge. Because the Bible that we are talking about, I mean, by now, you see the clear contradiction. God is acting confused. You can't credit a God holy and has so much wisdom and can spare mankind all the agony that we are feeling, we are enduring, and he's not delivering us. And you are there believing the Bible, saying we are to be blamed. Come on. Was Job to be blamed when God tell the devil to kill his children? What did Job did? God give, the God of the Bible now. I mean, you think this is a real God? I told you we're not talking about a real God. But the God that they put in the Bible is to serve their purpose. Because they're as genocidal and wicked as ever. That's why they wrote this Bible and give you this God to believe in. Because he is the one who does all the killing on earth, not the devil. Because, of course, they do demonstrate that the devil is not doing anything all by himself. God has to authorize him. God made the devil, throw him down on earth, and he caused Adam and Eve to sin. Right? Think about it. God knew it all before he caused it to happen. He allowed Satan to go into the Garden of Eden and mess around with Adam and Eve. Right? And he would eventually blame them and kick them out mercilessly and done nothing for them. Now, the Romans is going to write a Bible and tell you God is trying to save you right now from your sin. Didn't try to save Adam and Eve. And you want to ascribe this God with all kind of praise, glory, and honor. And this guy does not exist. And you're going to call people an atheist and agnostic and heretics and stuff like that and burn them at the stake? I mean, by the Inquisition and, you know, listen to me. Listen to me. Wake up, my friends. Here he's coming. He's sending three wise men to Herod, okay? And he cannot navigate well these three men. He's sending them to the adversary, right? Then he's going to, like, send an angel. Come on. I mean, what do you take an angel for, my friend? There is no angel. That's what they have this Bible entangling up our brain forevermore about we are sinners and we go into church every night having prayer meetings, fasting to God. What God? What God, my friends? What God? What God is it? What God? I mean, folks can't understand the way this cosmos is created and who put us here. Then you talk about God. Oh, Lord, he doesn't believe in God. He's Antichrist. You don't understand. You're under a fictional script, the Bible. It's not history. How are you swallowing symbolism to be real history? How are you doing that? A serpent. That's what you place your belief in and conviction in? And you're going to tell me I am an atheist? I am agnostic. I am not no agnostic. I understand history. I'm not somebody who's, dangling between, haltering between two opinion and this. No. I am certain about what I'm thinking about our world. You see, it's not no spirit, my friends. So I'm saying to you that once these three wise men left Herod, they said the star that they saw went ahead of them. This is a very important point. It went ahead of them and went right over where the baby was. Now, if you don't understand where we are in this narrative that I'm telling you read this story in St. Matthew 2nd chapter. I'm not making it up, my friends. Okay? And I am analyzing this. You read it for yourself and you see what I'm saying. Why then didn't God allow the star to go straight and sit over where the baby is in Bethlehem of Judea? Why? Why the star led them to a man who would kill this child? All his purpose was to kill this child. Now, you're going to say, well, you can't question God. This is what I'm saying. You see, you will never solve any problem. You will never discover that you're in darkness to an idea about God and the world and religion. You will never unravel it because you are believing all of this fiction. You see, God is not directing these three wise men. If God was really our creator was doing this, that's not the case. You know, to begin with, I tell you, this is midstream argument, you know. I shouldn't even be talking about it. Right, because it's far fetched, you know. It doesn't worth the while talking about it, but we have to talk about it because a lot of people are in bondage because of it. That's why I am talking about it. But you can smell, you can sense my ridicule for all of this, can't you? That's right, because you know you got to go have your prayer breakfast and pray to God and look at your dollar bill. In God we trust. You know what I mean? Come on. You know, but here, you know, we're talking about the real deal right now to extricate your mind for you to know the real world. But right now, you're entered. You know what I mean? You're entered. Because all in your mind, Tim is an atheist. Atheist to a fictional script. You cannot explain the fictional script. You're going to call me atheist. You have a very ignorant understanding, and the reason why, after we are talking, you would still believe that there is somebody in the world deserves to be called atheist because he does not accept the Bible. He's illiterate enough not to accept the foolishness that is in the Genesis creation story. You see what I mean? That all of these churches all over the world is based upon something that is, bizarre, is incredibly, something that is just totally out of reasoning. Out of the hands of the Romans. And you would have the thinking that I am out of order to be talking about the Bible like that. My friends, you need to see what I'm saying. You don't have a God in the Bible. Okay? There's no God in the Bible that's talking or dealing with the world. Mankind would... God would not make mankind and they get out of control. And think about it. God had all the opportunity then. If you think it's true. Let's assume it is true, right? And mankind got out of his hand. You know, God make mankind who is able to, resent him and disobey him and do what they want. And he has a devil here all this time. From the time of the Garden of Eden till right now, he's stay around, keep him around, give the world in his hand, because that's what the Bible says in St. Matthew 4 chapter, show you where God give the deliver to the Satan in the temptation of Jesus. That's what Satan said, that God deliver everything in his hand. So you want to tell me God throw Satan out of heaven, who contaminate heaven and rebellious and thrown down on earth where he's putting mankind. We don't know mankind to be up on, another planet as far as the Bible is concerned. He don't place mankind on another planet, and he doesn't put God on a planet. So only we one had a planet, according to the Bible. Ain't nobody came from Nibiru and I bred mankind, according to the Bible. It is a spirit God that nobody has ever made contact with, who blow up some dust and make mankind and everything fall out of control. Do you understand what I am telling you? Do you? Or you are still there, fuzzy, nebulous in your mind, haltering, what is this guy talking about? I am saying that you are drunk, believing in the God of the Bible. That's what I'm telling you. You're stone drunk. That's what I am telling you. And it is not, you think I'm disrespecting you? No, I am not. I am telling you something that you need to realize, that you are totally ignorant in this respect, believing in the Bible. I'm not saying you're ignorant about your job or anything. That's not what I'm telling you. I am telling you that you are in ignorance of the Bible, spirituality, right? It is metaphysics. And you are alienated from words. All right? You are alienated from words. You see? And the action of words. We need to understand things through words. So I am saying that nothing in history supports the Bible and the God that is in the Bible. We don't have a process that tells us about this God. We have a real history that tells us about the world at large and about how we mankind came on earth a few thousand years ago. About some 200,000 years ago or so or more. We have a history that tells us that. And the Bible itself alludes to thousands of years of history because they learn about it. It's not no revelation. So we here need to look at what we are believing about a God trying to save a world. We don't have anything, tells us about a world getting out of the hands of a God, because we don't have any information that tells us about who created the cosmos. The Bible come up with this contrivance. And nobody has ever seen this God, but somehow, he began to talk to some people according to the Bible. And this is where we rest. Belief on nothing. That's what is happening to us. And who wants to hear the report? To whom of the harm of the Lord, the harms of the Lord reveal? Now, we need to look at this. That I am telling you, God did not send the star over where the baby was and send him to Herod and mix up, bungle up this thing, and then tell the people to run away. So he had the star to now go in front of these men once they left Herod. Why? They don't need this star to lead them now. Because the star should have did lead them long ago and not go to Herod. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You know what I mean? They got lost. And Herod had to show them the way. And then when Herod showed them the way, it is saying that now, I mean, God, you know, God make the star lead them now. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. All right. You're listening to the Caribbean Radio Show, and this is Tim Aldred, having fun, unraveling and dispensing the darkness, right, of this biblical fictional story, of this, I mean, bogus Jesus, this mafia-written story. And if I feel good talking about this, man, because somebody needs to come and unravel this here. You're talking about gods and his mysteries. There's no darn mystery. No darn mystery. You know, I mean, it's a Catholic invention. You know what I mean? That's right. And this Christianity, I mean, is coming from the filthy hands of the people who nail people down. Because there are decent people. You see? And they come off now to tell you about he came from via a Holy Spirit and a heaven out there. I mean, I hope you're seeing what we're talking about. All right. So this is the Caribbean Radio Show, and I am Tim Aldred. This is the Knowledge Station, by the way. All right. Author of Bamboozled, Deceived by Lies, Man Never a Sinner. And you just need to browse the book and, you know, and get yourself elevated above this religious thing that they use for centuries and centuries and just darken up our minds. Okay? Now, let me pass for a station break here. Be back in a moment.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, I just like the river. I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming. But I know a change will come. Oh, yes, it will. Yes, this is Ruler Brown. You listen to the big man, Mr. Tim Aldred, right here on the Caribbean Radio Show.
Yes, 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 yes. Here we have it, my friends. Here we have it. If you want to join in with me, come aboard. You're welcome aboard. Look, I mean, I just hope nobody out there afraid of me, you know, because look, all I'm talking about is something in a logical construct. Logical construct. And I hope I have, if you're listening to me, you are not going to be entered and be kept in darkness. I'm talking about atheists, agnostic, because the Romans are the ones who invented this line of thinking. Ecclesiastical and secularism. There's no such thing in the world like those elements. And, you know, you have to be bogged down and lacking the ability to really work this thing out. You know, you have to be able to assimilate better, you know, to understand what we're talking about, because they have dumbed us down with this Bible for a long time. Right? So you've got to have some inclination of logic here to cope with what I'm saying. Because what I'm saying, you know, this is no, I'm not talking, you know, foreign language here to you. I am bringing up, logical issues. You see, and you can't use this spurious God and block the logic in what I'm saying. You can't let them use this Bible and dumb you down to the point where you can't see logical issues and see the relevance. Okay? All right. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. Is that the amount of lies that they have told us. It's untold. I mean, it's just, I mean, terribly, terrible, terrible stuff. Right? It's hard to control these things that they tell us. Very hard. But I'm going to tell you something. They are talking about, all right, my point is this. What reason Herod had to want to kill the baby Jesus? Now, you agree with me that if he thought that Jesus was just coming to, as a savior of the world, he was going to die for the sins of the world, they had nothing that says it's them who were supposed to kill him, right? So why would they want to kill that baby, an innocent baby, who is just about to save people from their sin? I want to belabor that. That point right there, okay? And somebody want to talk to me about that, call me 661 467-2407. I want you to call me and interact with me in this. Why? What reason Herod had wanting to destroy a baby, a innocent child? If this child was not a threat to anyone, but just to die for the world, why would, I mean, would a leader, I mean, you know, a leader of a nation, I mean, or however illegal it was, why would they want to kill him? Which other leader want to kill an innocent baby, not a people, not ethnic cleansing, okay? I'm not talking about ethnic cleansing. I'm talking about targeting one child. An innocent one baby child that somebody talk about would be born. I mean, it has to be something significant. And if the significance is about doing good for all mankind, why you want to kill him? We are discovering a lie in the Bible. That's what we are doing. We are discovering a lie that the Romans have written in the Bible telling us about one who came from everlasting, from God, okay, and come in the world via a virgin. We are discovering a lie. This is a lie that, we must identify as a lie, because there's just no way. First of all, we have no history about this Jesus that they're talking about. And besides, we don't see any reason why God would send the angel, the four wise men to Herod. And we don't, I mean, write down these reasons, man. Write down these reasons. I mean, and also, we don't see any reason why King Herod would want to kill this harmless child who promised to bring peace to earth, something that they can't give. But, I mean, there was nothing there that, according to what the Bible that we have, there's nothing there that this child was a threat to them, because he's not coming to remove them from power. No! According to the Bible, Jesus was not about the character that they built of Jesus. We're not talking about Yeshua, who they have on the cross, I mean, exhibiting in front of us. You see, because he came into the Jewish historical construct. A man who is looking to free his people. That's what the Bible says, according to Micah 5. You see, God would send a Messiah who would remove the Assyrian when they walk into their premise, into their province. In this case, it didn't say anything about Romans would be there. Nothing in prophecy talk about Romans inhabiting this land. All right, unless they're only covered under adversaries. But, I mean, the Bible pinpoint out the Assyrians and Philistines. You see what I mean? So, what we are talking about, this is hardcore logical stuff. This is not about amen, hallelujah stuff you're talking. Okay? So, I'm drilling out, I'm drawing out this lie that they're telling in the Bible about Jesus, you know, I mean, came from everlasting and came with the purpose to die for the world. It's an egregious lie, and I'm revealing it to you right now, that they had no idea at all about no Messiah dying for sin. None whatsoever. They are lying. If you read this thing good and read it right, you don't have any problem. You don't even have to put your glasses on to know that this is an egregious lie that you and I have believed for a long time about a Savior coming to die for our sin. Like I said, nobody know anything about Adam and Eve and any sin that we commit. Nobody about a God that curse us. Nobody in real history, okay? This is all made up in this Bible. And they base it on revelation because they know there is no history to corroborate that. Listen to what I just said. They make it revelation because no history corroborates it. And if we are hideous, imbeciles, to believe it. That's the way it works. Now, there is just no way anybody's holding a gun over our head for us to believe it. So now, we better use our academics and extricate our mind from it. Now, I hope you heard me. So, what I'm saying to you is this, that all of these egregious lies that they spread, We know there is no reason for them to want to kill the baby Jesus. No reason at all, because he wasn't, according to their own script, we're talking about the Bible itself. It wasn't talking about this man is coming to unseat Rome out of Israel. That's not what it's talking about. All right? So therefore, it's a lie. The reason why they wanted the baby Jesus is that they knew that the Jewish people and the prophets talk about one who would come and remove adversaries from their land. That's what the Herod knew. He did not want this fellow to grow up and remove him from power. Can't you see? That's the lie that they're telling us. I am telling you. I mean, nobody, who had told you this lie, pointed out this lie to you before? Has anybody pointed it out? Has Chris Lodalo, Billy Graham, or Paul Crouch, or any one of these televangelist people, have they pointed out this lie and tell you that God did not send these three wise men, send the star in the east, carry them to where the child was? They lost. It carried them to Herod. You see what I mean? Yes. They did not allow a Jewish person to intercept and guide these people to it. No, you have to go to Herod. You know, because this is all fiction. Nothing go like that. Okay? So they're writing these things, and this is the way they write it. You see what I mean? To suit themselves. But logic would reveal nothing done in the darkness that remains there. Because it is also said in the Bible here. Right? There are some truth in there. Yes, like this. Even though I don't want them to tell me this. I don't want the Bible to tell me this. But since that's what I grew up with, that's what, you know, I'm exposed to, might as well I just say it. Right? Anything done in the darkness will come to light. And this is exactly what is happening here. They did not think that Jesus came to save anybody. They knew the only thing that was there was the Jewish history where the prophets were saying some lineage of David would come up and will execute justice and judgment and rule forever. And then when this Yeshua was born, he did not do that. You know, because what? The prophecy was nothing divine. It was nothing real, nothing true. This is, Jewish people daydreaming about having another David. It was only one David, and it was a happenstance. Happenstance. Where those days were gone. It was not about to come back. Can't you see? Those days were gone. The days of David, the days of Solomon were gone. The days of Jeroboam or Rehoboam, whichever it is. Those days were gone, my friends. So when they were daydreaming about having another David lineage to come and work this thing again, this political thing again, it didn't happen this time. It did not happen this time. And all of the prophets started talking about what he would have done. It did not fulfill. It did not fulfill. Whether the Jewish people, they wrote them themselves, or, you know, Rome, they contrive up all these prophecies. I do not know. I do not know. But all I know, it doesn't happen. If it happened, I would know. All of us would. You see what I mean? So look, I'm walking through this, and you're helping me to walk through this. You see what I mean? And if you want to walk away and still believe this Bible garbage about this fictional world that you live in, and you owe this God some praise and prayer, it's up to you. You are not, well, I'm not saying you're that. You're capable of thinking what I'm saying right now, because the information is there for you to seat yourself. But hey, I live, so much years and nobody told me. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying to you right now, I'm very serious about this, God, do all these things. It's just a mess. And it's a mess because people are contriving these things, that it's not happening in the way that a perfect God would do it. The world is not under the hand of this Bible God at all. All right. So now, this is the thing, you see, is that God is working in these kind of ways now. You see, after things go wrong, God come back and try to straighten it out. You believe, all right. So let me go on to the next one. I am saying to you that see for yourself clearly that the reason why they wanted to kill Jesus was not that he wanted to worship anything. He wanted to get rid of him. He killed off all the infants under 2 years old because they didn't want a ruler to rise up and boot them out of there. And that's the reason why they hated so much for somebody to be capable to put them out. And that's the reason why they were nailing people down and crucifying people. That was to put fear inside of them. And how long were they killing people? I mean, as long as they've been in Israel, they've been killing the Jewish people. Can't you see? And they don't want to get out of that place. Can't you see? That's right. They fight to the death to stay in that place. They smash the temples. They kill these people until, you know, they subdue them, all of them. They subdue them, all right? And, you know, these three guys now, I mean, they got these two guys. They're talking about Barabbas and this other one, you know, two thieves that die with Christ. And these were victims, my friends. They want us to think that these were bad men. These people were fighting for freedom. Jesus Christ, Yeshua was not the only one that, that they put on cross. There are others, two others and many others. That they kill like that. The Jewish people didn't have no cross that they were nailing people. And so I'm telling you today, look, if you don't make this something significant in your life, then go ahead and believe all the foolishness that you want to believe. Stay in the bliss of it. Because knowledge comes to you and you close your eyes. They did not believe that Jesus were someone who was in the waiting for from time everlasting to come into the world at an appointed time where the devil would see to it that he's killed. This is all egregious lies. Lies. Okay? And we are elucidating it right now. And you want to still go on believing in Jesus, die for your sins? Go ahead. Because, of course, your brain is too damaged to understand a lie different from the truth. Think about it, my friends. What need would they have to kill Jesus as a baby, saving that they were afraid? He's going to grow up and boot them out. And that's exactly what the Jewish expected. They wanted their man. And of course it says, you know, when Yeshua grew up, a lot of the people, and they start to talk and you know, and prepare to get support to get Rome out of there. You know, some of the Jews accepted him and some didn't. You know, I mean, you know, they're cynical, whatever. All right, but this is all a political thing. And Yeshua was getting support and stuff. And then they decided to arrest him. Right? This is the Jewish desire and hope for them to have somebody to get Rome out. This guy had everything from what we're reading. He was competent and able to do it. And this is the way they got rid of him. You see? Because they were going to stay there until they want. Now, for them to now, because look, you read in St. Luke. You read it in St. Luke. It's St. Luke, right? Yes. St. Luke. Where it tells you that when they brought Jesus Yeshua to Pilate. Pilate asked them, "What did he do? What did he do?" And they said, "We found him, creating problems among the people. He's creating an uprising among the people." You know, I mean, and he said, "He's talking against Moses. He's talking against Caesar." You know? So they bringing him in for treason. You know? Creating a problem. This is why they tell Pilate. And they write this narrative as though Pilate didn't want to do away with him. You know, this is the way they're writing it. And making it seem like the Jews were the one who wanted to get rid of him. It's not true. It's none of that. It's true. I mean, they wanted to kill him from he was a baby. Why is it now they're trying to make it seem like Jews want to kill their own? No! Not the truth. No truth to that. I mean, I read in Prentice Hall World History book. Here, it says. Here, the message of Jesus, you know, was one large crowd gathered to hear Jesus teaching, especially when word spread that he had performed miracles of healings. Jesus often used parables or short stories with simple moral lessons. communicate his ideas. You know, and he was doing a lot of that, I understand, because he understood that he posed a threat. And if he said certain things, they would come down and just take him away, right? So this guy was using very wise way to communicate for people to understand, right? And after 3 years, he and his disciples, our loyal followers, went to Jerusalem to spread his message there. See what I mean? All right. Now, the message, Jesus' teachings were firmly rooted in Jewish traditions. Think about that. When they are telling you that this man, Yeshua, because remember, Jesus is Yeshua. He's the same person they're talking about. They only changed Yeshua's name, right? When they are telling you that this Yeshua man started Christianity. No. The world history is telling you, my friends, that, look.
Oh, my gosh. My head is hurting.
It says, his teaching were firmly rooted in Jewish tradition. Jesus, Yeshua, believed in one God and accepted the Ten Commandments. Of course. So you see where the one God is coming from? It was coming from before Yeshua was born. You see? Yes. Because they already, work on the history and decided they're going to use one God over everybody, right? I mean, away from the time when Yahweh were around, when Yahweh was around, right? So now they're talking about Jesus believing in one God. And you know, I don't know if I'm to believe that Yeshua was believing in one God. You know, probably. He probably was brainwashed too, okay? He preached obedience to the laws of Moses and defended the teachings of the Jewish prophets. The Jewish prophet talks about a man in the lineage of David, not to be a savior to the world, but to the Israeli Jewish people in Palestine. That's what it's about. Now, I just wanted to read that, my friend, so you understand. You don't be gullible to all of these Bible things that they are writing and telling you about Jesus started Christianity and that Christianity was before the Romans and all these old bunch of, nowhere and ideas that they want to use to validate Christianity. It's sick your stomach. I mean, each time, just to say the word Christianity is enough to make you vomit. That's right. That's what it's supposed to do. Is make you vomit. Because there's nothing right about Christianity. Okay? Now, so we're talking about this here. This is what they are spreading over the world is about a God who doesn't know to do his business. The one who preserved the devil on earth. Give him the entire rule of government over the earth. Right now. Like I told you in St. Matthew 4. I mean, in the temptation that they talk about Jesus. All these kind of things they write about the temptation of Jesus. None of these things are true. But you see, they bring out all the garbage that they want out for people to believe it. And we who believe it. I mean, look how many people believe all this spurious type of contrivances, man. You see? And they're getting away with. God is, Satan now. Why God would have Satan from the Garden of Eden until this day he doesn't get rid of him? Why he hasn't gotten rid of Satan? No, but he used Satan. Look at the plot. Look at the what they have written in the narrative, the fictional narrative. God threw Satan down to create sin on earth. Because he knew what would happen. You know, see? Can't you see? God threw him down on earth to create sin. And God kept him around all of these years. He uses him to kill off, Job's children, and do all his dirty work. Can't you see? Yes! Satan has not volunteered to kill anybody. God ought to rise, tell him. As a matter of fact, between this argument between God and Job. Well, what is it? What Job did wrong? Why he had to be taking Job through trial and tribulation? Why? Why is testing? Satan is telling him to test Job. Look, all these stuff doesn't work manure from a horse dung. What they're writing in the Bible for us to really believe. It doesn't equal a horse dung that manure your tomatoes. You need to understand this. You need to understand what the Romans put in the Bible for us to believe and tell us about this false fiction world about a God who is so crazy. You get what I'm saying? You need to understand what they're writing to this book, man. You know, it boggles my mind that they would write this kind of a thing. Why do they do that? Yes, because they have the means to do it. Why? Why this God? He's so wretched and vile, and he is the one who loves us and trying to save us now? This Christianity thing? So here, you see, so he, all this John the Baptist story and all this that we're thinking about and think it's all this true under this fictional world that they created? It hurts. It hurts. And this Bethlehem of Judea thing that we need to just get it out of your mind. All right? God and Herod and all these kind of things that we are revering and we have, these are notable names and stuff in the Bible. Why they don't change Herod's name? You know, they have changed Yeshua's name. Why they don't change Herod's name? Herod's name hasn't changed. Why they change Yeshua's name, man? Come on. So, you see, God is stock steering mad. A mad fellow. And we must think that he created us, man. Out of a little dust. You know what I mean? And use the cherubim and kick Adam and ass. Adam and Eve. Body out of the garden, man. You see? Like I always said. This God character. By the Bible. Inscription. Comes across as bipolar. I've never had this one before. No, listen, thank you for that one. Radio. Look, I thank you, my friends, for, being with me here today, Black Art Rose Radio, and I'm guest 2689, guest 2731, and guest 3011. Look, thank you for hanging in with me. Yeah, that's right. That's right, man. So now, bipolar. I mean, you know, and worse. Bipolar and more. Bipolar. You know what I mean? Because a lot of bipolar people, you know, I mean, do pretty well. I work with a lady, they say bipolar, you know, and sometimes, you know, she's nice. But she was always nice with me. Funny. She's never shown me that bad side of the bipolar. But some other people complain about it, you know. Yeah, very close people are complaining about it. But, I mean, I don't know. I had, like, an energy that always, I guess, command, you know, adherence from her. We were all good buddies. She was very nice to me all the time. Yes. But, you know, yes, that's right. That's what it is. That's what it is. Why people cannot see that this God is bipolar. He has neurosis of the brain. You know, he makes man, he says sorry, and he kicks Adam and Eve. He treats them like trash. Don't want to give them knowledge. Come on. And you still believe that, you know, this is... You know, this is God trying to save us. Or in one, the same as the devil. Lol. I mean, description. I mean, lol. Look, there's no joke about this. No joke about this. You know? It is just absurd and ridiculous. But now, I have brought this out to you. Any one of you heard this? You know, get your friends to listen this archives on this tape, because I know a lot of people would like to hear this. A lot of people would like to hear this because, you know, we're going down into this thing. We're not, I mean, bashing any religion, my friends. That's not what I am doing. I'm not bashing religion. I'm talking logical things. That is right here. You know, we don't need any religion, because religion was made up for us. Somebody make it up for us. You see what I mean? So we were born without any religion. So you don't know, no need to get offended when I am, look, scraping this thing out of here and showing that this Herod, you know, they said was trying to kill the baby that we now believe in as Jesus. To understand that, look, they're writing a fictional story, a and make it up and give it to us. They make religion for us. They make Christianity for us. They impose it on us. And what I'm saying, read the story. Find out that they have lied to us big time. There is no Holy Spirit, no spirit from God working. We don't have a world where any of what they rendered in the Bible is true. Get rid of it, my friends. Get rid of it, okay? And I just thank you, my friends. And I hope that we have unmasked this lie today about what they're talking about. They knew all along that Jesus, this child, was not coming to die for the world. They knew it all along. That's why they wanted to kill him as a baby. And now they want to turn around after they killed him for not being a Messiah to the world, but rather one who wanted political freedom. They shift the history and hope you don't see it. But if you see it, you don't let them keep on fooling you and believing in it. You don't believe that because they're lying about the story of Jesus. And because the man was a married man, they don't want to tell you that. And now they're lying about what he was. But it comes out very clear in what we have read that the Jewish expectation was for a man to kick Rome out of there. And that's why they wanted to kill him. And eventually when he rose up against them, they put him away anyway. They are telling you that he came from heaven by revelation and the whole ball of wax. Listen, what else? This is close today. I hope you get it. And thank you, all my friends, for being with us. And thank you for being with me. And join us Monday night at 8 o'clock, Dr. Ev. And she likes to get off on these logical things. And, you know, she has her way of doing it. Great, great lady. Thank her for, you know, privilege to just go into these things. These are very vital for us to learn and understand, my friend. Get into our real self. And thank you for being with me on it today. And I know we unravel and mask the Roman lie. The lie. Thank you for being with me.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, I just like the river. I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change will come. Oh, yes, it will. Yes, this is Ruler Brown. You listen to the big man, Mr. Tim Aldred, right here on the Caribbean Radio Show.